Are you a sanctuary? Are you a sanctuary that God designed? Are you a sanctuary that's been dedicated to him? And you, are you a sanctuary that's been decontaminated? You see, God can, and I can't wait till I get the second part of this message, because we're going to talk about what God can do through a vessel that is truly a house that he can live in. It's unbelievable what God can do. See, God got great work for some people, but the reason he can't do it is because you in the way. That defilement is in the way. And God, all God is saying, look, I just need you to clean this up a little bit. I just need you to go in the temple, and I need you to do a little house cleaning.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary.
But they just can't get it. They just can't get it. And in my mind, you know what I said? The reason you can't get it, because it's not designed to play that kind of music. Just like you see, you know, as we look at who we are and the way that God designed us, that there are certain things that we have not been designed to do. The Bible says that you are a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So you need to walk in the newness of this design. There are certain places that you shouldn't go. There are certain things that you shouldn't do because it's against your nature. It's against the very fabric of who you are. Because you haven't been designed for that. When Christians are in places that they shouldn't be, and they're doing things that they shouldn't, you are going against the very design. You know, it takes work to go against the thing that you were designed for. And the sad thing about it is that so many people have worked against the design for so long, and they've pressed against the design for so long, now it's just easy for them to flow right into the wrong thing because they've cut another groove. They've redesigned things. So God says here that, you know, we were designed by him, handcrafted by God. All your faults, all your imperfections were designed by God. And God knew who you were. God knew what you were going to be about. And he said that, look, don't make any difference what you feel your faults are if you just let my spirit live in you. If you just live a clean life, and let the Spirit of God be manifested in your life, then all those faults and all those setbacks and all those difficulties, we can work with that. We can work through it. We can move ahead if you just let me fill your life. So the design, the tabernacle was designed by God, and the believer is designed by God. The tabernacle in the wilderness was designed to be occupied by God. What did he say in Exodus chapter 25 and verse 8? He said, let them build me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Let them build me a sanctuary. And what was the purpose for building the sanctuary? The purpose for building the sanctuary is because God wanted to live among his people. He wanted to live in the midst of his people. You know, for the longest time, it seemed like to the Hebrew nation that God was way out there somewhere, especially when they were in Egypt in slavery. Many of them had to ask the question, where is the God of Abraham? Where is the God of Isaac? Where is the God of Jacob? Where is he at? And God called Moses and he said, look, I want to come down and I want to walk among my people and I want to live among my people. And the thing that I want you to do, I want you to build me a sanctuary so that I can live among them. And let me tell you this, Moses, I don't want to live in any junk. I don't want to live in a place where the roof is leaking. I don't want to live in a place where the plaster is falling in. I don't want to live in a place that's falling apart. I build me a sanctuary for $13 million. Build me a sanctuary, God told Moses, because God don't want to live in any junk. And so, what about the believer? Well, the believer was designed to be occupied by God. Back in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 16. Know ye not that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? That God's Spirit dwells in you. Man, what a powerful concept to think about that. That whenever I walk about my daily life, that the Spirit of God lives in me. God's Spirit, and I take God with me wherever I go. If I'm a Christian, if I'm a believer, I may not have the fullness of the Spirit if I'm not walking right, but I do have the Spirit. Man was getting ready to be unfaithful, commit adultery. And before they got ready to commit adultery, he said to the lady, well, let's pray about this. And she said, I don't want God seeing what I'm doing. Well, if you're a Christian, God is already there. He already is right there. And so we need to realize that when we go into mess and when we go into sin, we take God in it with us. You say, well, where you get that from, Pastor? Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. He says here in verse 15, know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. How can I drag Christ into this mess? Christ is in me. God lives in me. I can't drag God into this mess. What? Know ye not that he who is joined to a harlot is one body? For two say he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. And then he says, flee fornication. Flee fornication. Why? Because as a Christian, when you enter into something ungodly, such as fornication, sex outside of marriage, he says, you're taking Christ into that. And God, you say, well, I don't want him to go in with me. Well, if you're saved, he's with you. Now, you might want to go back and ask the question, am I really saved? I need to ask that question. That might be the deeper issue that I need to deal with. You know, I've had people tell me some interesting things. I asked one couple why they wanted to get married. You know what the young lady told me? So I could have guilt-free sex. She was a Christian, knew the Lord, loved the Lord, but she wanted to have guilt-free sex. What are you doing? You are when you enter into that bond with somebody outside the marital relationship, you are taking Christ into that. God lives in you. The design, God lives in you. The dedication, the tabernacle, was sanctified and set apart unto God. We won't read that, but in Numbers chapter 7 and verse 1, it talked about the dedication of the tabernacle and how that the tabernacle, once Moses constructed it and the construction was finished, how that he dedicated it to the Lord. He consecrated it to the Lord. Just like the temple or the tabernacle was sanctified and set apart for God, so the body of the believer is sanctified and set apart unto God. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. Mighty quiet in here this morning. I guess y'all must have got all your praise out when Jeff was up here praying and when the choir was up here singing. Y'all got all your praise out then. That's what it is. I understand. All right, y'all got it all out. That's good. Amen. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, he says here that you got to present your body As a what? As a living sacrifice. You've got to sanctify yourself. In the Old Testament, you know what that word sanctify means? See, you know, we've added all these terms of sanctification today, and we think that it's some nebulous term that's out there that only the holy and sinless and most righteous can attain. Sanctification meant two things in the Old Testament. First of all, it meant separated from ungodly use. And then it meant dedicated to God's use. That's what sanctification meant. Now, you know, we've added all these other terms to it today, but that's the bottom line of what sanctification is. And Paul says here that you as a believer, that you have been set apart from the world and you have been dedicated unto God. That is the dedication, that you are separated and that you are dedicated. And are you walking like that? As a matter of fact, verse 2 in the Greek is in the present imperative, and it says, and be not conformed. You know what the literal translation is? Stop being conformed. Stop being conformed to the world. You know, you've been going down that path long enough. It's time to stop. It's time to stop being pushed in the world's mold. Stop being pushed in the world's mindset. And walk in this path of dedication unto the Lord. And it's very interesting because what he's saying here, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the idea here is what he's saying is don't be veneered with the world. You know, the veneer was something that was on the outside. He said, because, you know, if something was veneered, that means that who you really are deep down inside is not coming out because you've been veneered with something else. That's just like if you took a piece of expensive oak or pine furniture and you paid all this money for this furniture because of the wood and the beauty of the wood. And then you go to Walmart and buy a $1.09 can of paint and you take that brush and paint over that. You've covered up the true essence of that table. You've covered up the oak. You've covered up the beauty of it. And when Christians veneer themselves with the world, they are actually covering up the true essence of God in them. God lives in you, the hope of glory. And you know, this, the idea is not to be a part-time devoted person. You know, we have, sometimes people got part-time, well, you know, I'm going to be devoted when I go on Sunday. And then, you know, when I have my devotions, because that's what devotions are for, to devote yourself. But, you know, devotions only last for an hour if I'm doing them. So I'm only going to be devoted for an hour, but then the rest of the day I'm going to do my own thing. You see, God is looking for total devotion. You know, I told you all the story about this church that was having a revival, and it was on Halloween night. And it was raining and thundering and lightning outside. And there was a guy going to a costume party. And he wanted to get out of the rain. And so he ran into the church. And he was dressed up in the devil's costume. And when he ran into the church, the pastor looked and saw the devil in the back of the church. And he split out the side. And everybody was wondering why the pastor ran out. And they looked, and the guy was coming down the aisle. And they looked. Everybody started running. And there was one lady who couldn't get away from him, got caught up on the pew. And he was coming right at her. And she said, I've been in the church all my life, but I just want to let you know I've been serving you the whole time. See, see, God is looking for total dedication. He's not looking for folk that want to serve him part-time and then serve the devil the rest of the time. He's looking for full devotion and full dedication. Why? Because he has set us apart so that he may live in us. The design, the dedication, and then let me close with this, the decontamination. When the temple was defiled, God wanted it to be decontaminated. In the Old Testament, if you look there to 2 Chronicles, chapter 29, God had to cleanse the temple. Now, Ahaz was a wicked individual. And when Ahaz became king, he did a lot of disgusting things. One of the things that Ahaz did is that he made Baal idols for people to worship. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 2. And it says about Ahaz, "For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel and made also melted and cast images for Balaam." Now, he was a king of the Most High God. He was of the nation that served the Most High God. But look what he did. He made Baal idols for the people to worship. Not only that, but he offered human sacrifices. Verse 3, "Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of Hinnom and burned his children in the fire after the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel." So he committed idolatry. He offered his children up. And then he worshiped pagan gods. Look at verse 4. "He sacrificed also and burned incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree." So he set up all these altars to Baal all over the country. Now that was bad enough. But now he goes in and he starts to deal with the temple. Look at verse 24. "And Ahaz gathered together the vessels of the house of God and cut into pieces the vessels of the house of God, and shut up the doors of the house of God, and he made for himself altars in every corner of Jerusalem." The temple of God, shut down, defiled, and you know what? God was not in it. God was not in it because it was defiled. And so God wanted to take his rightful place back in the temple. And so when Ahaz is off the scene, his son Hezekiah comes. And Hezekiah loves God with all his heart. And Hezekiah creates a great revival in the land. And people get right. And he wants to open up the temple again. But before they open it up, look what he has to do in verse 5. And said, "Hear me, ye Levites. Sanctify now yourselves and sanctify the house of the Lord God of your father, and carry forth," look at this, "the filthiness out of these holy places." Take the filthiness out of these holy places. Ahaz had brought a bunch of filthiness in the house of God. And God said, "We got to clean it up. We got to clean it up. We got to get it out." Look at verse 15. "And they gathered their brethren and sanctified themselves and came according to the commandment of the king, by the words of the Lord, to cleanse the house of the Lord." Amen. To cleanse the house of the Lord. "And the priests went into the inner parts of the house of the Lord to cleanse it, and brought out all the uncleanness that they found in the temple of the Lord into the court of the house of the Lord. And the Levites took it and carried it abroad into the brook Kidron. And they began on the first day of the month to sanctify, and on the eighth day of the month came they to the porch of the Lord. So they sanctified the house of the Lord in 8 days, and in the 16th day of the first month they finished. Then they went into Hezekiah the king and said, 'We have cleansed all the house of the Lord, and the altar of the burnt offerings with all its vessels, and the showbread table and all its vessels. Moreover, all the vessels which King Ahaz in his reign did cast away in his transgression, we have prepared and sanctified, and behold, they are before the altar of the Lord.'" Wow. Before God would go back in and re-inhabit it. Before he would go back and allow them to resume worship in the house of God, it had to be cleansed. It had to be cleansed. And as we look at Jesus in the New Testament, I don't know if it was once or twice, the scholars are divided, but he went into the house of God and he had to cleanse the temple. Jesus went and saw all the filth and all the devastation going on, and he went in there and began to turn tables. Why? Because the house of God had been defiled and it needed to be cleaned. You know, sometimes we as God's people can let the house get defiled. And we need to do a little cleaning. Maybe we've let it get defiled through bitterness and anger. Maybe we've let the house get defiled through acts of sin. Maybe we've let the house get defiled because of broken relationships. Maybe we've let the house get defiled because we didn't do what God would have us to do. You know, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary for you. Are you a sanctuary? Are you a sanctuary that God designed? Are you a sanctuary that's been dedicated to him? And are you a sanctuary that's been decontaminated? You see, God can, and I can't wait till I get the second part of this message, because we're going to talk about what God can do through a vessel that is truly a house that he can live in. It's unbelievable what God can do. See, God got great work for some people, but the reason he can't do it is because you in the way. That defilement is in the way. And God, all God is saying, look, I just need you to clean this up a little bit. I just need you to go in the temple, and I need you to do a little house cleaning. If you do that house cleaning, man, there's nothing. I don't care how old you are. I don't care how incapacitated you are. I don't care how much your life has been wrecked or ravaged by whatever. God can use you. Man, God could take a knucklehead like Bill Glaze. I'm talking about a sure enough knucklehead who had no desire for God, who shook his fist in God's face and said, God, I don't want your hand on my life. And yet and still, when I was able to yield, man, God just took control of my life. You know, there were so many times that I tried to stop things on my own, and I could never do it. But when I accepted Christ and allowed the Spirit of God to truly be manifested in my life, then I began to see all these chains become unshackled. And you know what? The same thing can be done for you. And you know what? I wasn't even a Christian. And I just see so many Christians today that are in bondage to sin, in bondage to the way of the world. And God says, look, let me unshackle you from all that. Let me just loose those bonds off of you so that you might be free and clean to serve me. He said, I'm looking for vessels that I can occupy in all the fullness and glory. I'm looking for vessels. How about you today? Are you going to be a vessel for God to work in? I tell you what, man, we could turn this church, Homewood, Pittsburgh, upside down. Man, if we just allow our vessels, our lives to be clean, and for God to fill us and to occupy our souls in all of his fullness, man, there's nothing. I truly believe that there's nothing that we couldn't do. You know, I shared my testimony with you that how I hated to stand up before people and talk. I hated it. I get nervous, start sweating, start shaking, and I just hated to do it. But when God took residence in my heart, those fears went away, and he empowered me to do what he wanted me to do. And I'm just, whatever it is that needs to be done, it can be done. If God's people would yield. Is that your prayer today? Lord, prepare me to be a saint.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, Part 2. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request, Lord, Prepare Me to Be a Sanctuary. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Galais. Dr. Galais is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.